Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Mr. S.M. Wright II. He is the CEO of the S.M. Wright Foundation, and if the name S.M. Wright sounds familiar, you may be familiar with the fine work of his father, the legendary civil rights activist here in Dallas, S.M. Wright, who's got a highway named after him. That's how big he is. S.M., how you doing? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Doing great, Chris. Doing wonderful.
Well, you know, I had to have you on because Christmas in the Park is right around the corner. For those who don't know, you guys have been putting on Christmas in the Park at Fair Park for how many years now?
25 years.
This is fantastic. Let everybody know what's going to happen on the 16th of December because people need to know about it.
Sure. We are just so excited. This is the end of the year, and now it's the holiday season, and we're here to bless the thousands of families that's going to be coming through Fair Park. It's going to be a wonderful event for the families and the children in the venue at the Automobile Building, and it is just a great time to share and to give back and to also provide holiday encouragement to so many families who need assistance.
You know, you guys do this so well. And again, for 25 years now, I've seen some of the YouTube videos about past Christmas in the Parks, and I was just amazed at all the toys and gifts that are provided for the kids, those rows and rows of bicycles. It's absolutely amazing. It's almost like taking the kids up to North Pole.
Yes, we have that holiday feel, and mm-hmm. The children just loves it.
It is really absolutely amazing. And I know you have so many different partners that have helped over the years. Whose idea was it to come up with Christmas in the Park? And this is just one of the programs. We're going to get into all the different programs you guys provide. Yeah.
It was 25 years ago, it was just a small project at the church. Matter of fact, we had a caravan of blessings on Christmas Day, which we just went to about 35 to 40 homes in the South Dallas community on Christmas Day, and we provided toys and home products to the many families in the community. And then from there, we held our first Christmas in the Park at People's Missionary Baptist Church, that's the church where my father pastored, and I pastor as well. And we started with 175 kids, where we turned the sanctuary into a toy land. Mm-hmm. And it was very popular in the neighborhood. And from there, it grew each and every year at the church site until we had to move. 10,000 showed up in the year of 2007. So we had to move the next year in 2008 to the Automobile Building at Fair Park.
That's just absolutely amazing. We're talking with Pastor S.M. Wright II. And Pastor Wright, this thing is so large. And again, there's so many people involved nowadays because everybody wants to help out and give. Can you talk about some of your partners? Because I know you want to leave a few of them out, but there have been some people been with you from the beginning.
Yes, I have a long list. I don't want to omit anyone, but we have a lot of a long time partners who have stayed with us, and also new partners, have new friends have come on alongside us to help. If I start calling names, I'm going to, Brother Chris, I'm going to miss a lot of names.
I know what you mean.
I don't start calling names, but it is all of the who's who in Dallas. I mean,
right.
In Dallas, who have joined in with us for years to have to bring this event into fruition. And it's just wonderful for friends referring a friend about this event, and it's just with the partnerships that we have, and which will be announced at the event day, of all of our supporters and partners who partner with us will be announced there on event day. But we have a long-standing relationship with so many, and we're just so thankful for our sponsors. Without our sponsors, we could not even get this event possible this year. So we're very excited.
Oh, I hear you. Can you talk about what the day is going to be like? This is going to be on December the 16th. What time will the doors open? And, you know, I don't know if you got something new, a new twist to it this year at all, but can you talk about some of the activities that will be going on that day?
The activity is the automobile building is a 100,000 square feet. And we did a build out into a Christmas village thing. And so the families will be journeying to Toyland, which there will be thousands of toys in Toyland. We will have bike land on the bike land pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the families will journey to the Christmas village, which we will have the furniture and appliance Wheel of Fortune area where families can win furniture, home appliances at the Wheel of Fortune booth. We will also have our Christmas tote wagon area where a lot of families are going to be carrying a lot of gifts, and we have tote wagons. That's also a gift for the families to have throughout the day. We also have the clothing and resource department pavilion. We also will have the coats for kids.
Oh, nice. Pavilion.
We're going to be distributing over thousands of new coats.
Mm-hmm.
We will have our shoes pavilion. We have our shoes pavilion. Will be we're very excited about that. Thousands of shoes that we will have. We have our food court. We will have our food court for groceries, and then also we will have our hot meals that we'll be serving thousands of families during the hot meal section. And we also will be distributing mattress sets at our drive-through location for those who have their mattress tickets. We'll be distributing mattresses as well at this event. It is a full one-stop holiday event for the thousands of families here in Dallas and surrounding communities.
It is so amazing. Like I said, and over time, it's just gotten bigger and bigger and better and better. Back when you first started and you had the caravan, I know that was interesting. Yeah, you were headed down the streets with all of the gifts and the toys and the presents and the clothes and shoes. Can you talk about what it was like loading up all the caravans back in the day?
Correct. Yeah, when we first started, having a right heart and having a wonderful heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just families. And when I went in all the homes I went in, I asked the families where the children were sleeping on. A lot of the children were sleeping on the floor. They didn't even have a bed to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we started with the mattress program, and we highlighted with the mattress program. So it working with the families throughout the years, and even when we first started, and I said, well, I was committed myself that I'm going to continue to help the many families here in the community. And be consistent, and we have been consistent in helping the families to have a resource for the families that they need assistance.
And you've done that so well for 25 years. For those who don't know, the S.M. Wright Foundation is dedicated to providing relief and hope to suffering families in the community, offering families the tools they need to become self-sufficient and restoring stability in the home and supporting financial empowerment. So you guys have done a lot of different things for all the different families in the area. Can you talk again about these mattresses and the Beds for Kids program? Because this is all a part of what you've been doing throughout the year.
Yes, that's the mattress program. Now we expanded our mattress programs to SM Wright Mattress Agency. Mm-hmm. Now we can do a full line of mattress for adults, for the families.
Oh, great.
Moms and grandmothers. So not only with the best for kids, but we also take care of the grandmother, grandfather, the mom and dad with the full or queen size. So we expanded that this year with our new lines of mattresses for the community. The best for kids year to date so far, when we started that program in 2010 to now, we distributed right at close to 20,000 mattresses.
Wow.
in the Metroplex through our bed drives, our mattress giveaways that we do each quarter of the year in distributing the mattresses. And so the mattress program is a major agency of the foundation. And it's a major need because of the pricing of mattresses has went up, and there are thousands of families cannot afford mattresses right now because of the high cost mm-hmm. of mattresses. So we're just so thankful that we're able to continue to expand and as well as to help the children, but also the parents who are raising the children that needs assistance, and we're able to do that.
Let alone, like I said, you mentioned the mattresses, the beds. The beds, I see that you've taken care of like over 1,700 families, kids with twin bed sets and full set
Correct.
Beds, and there's still a waiting list of people. Because these are things that people need, but nobody ever really thinks about. They think about the
Correct.
Food, and you guys help out with food as well, but no one ever thinks
Correct.
About how families have kids sleeping on the floors or on couches and things, and you've stood in the breach right there and taken care of so many families and kids. Can you talk about how people can get on that waiting list if they need a bed?
Sure. Yes, right after the Christmas holidays, we'll start back up in January, and the application will be on the www.smwright.org. And when you click the Beds for Kids, we will have an online application. So they can reach out to us online,
mm-hmm.
or you can email us. We can get them registered and getting to be a part of one of our distribution days. We have a big Martin Luther King distribution day on King holiday that we distribute hundreds of mattress sets and honor Dr. King. And so we want to make sure they get enrolled, and we will get the applications processed so they can be ready on event day for the distribution, for our first distribution of the year on the King holiday.
This is just absolutely amazing. Again, a lot of people have been knowing about it, but a whole lot more are just now finding out about it by you being on Better Living. And Pastor SM Wright, we appreciate you joining us. Can you talk a little about the Foundation Furniture Bank? Because that's also
Sure.
something people don't think about.
Yes, the Foundation Furniture Bank, we have expanded. We're so happy with so many generous donors that help. They donate slightly used furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And we always receive requests. They say a family needs a sofa, or a family needs some recliners, or a grandmother needs a recliner. And we were able to continue to provide those services as well. Our furniture bank has been very active and busy this year in providing the help for the families, so they can also can email us and sign up for the furniture. That is a expanding agency that we're continually helping here in the community.
That's right. And you guys established that in 2009, outgrowth of
Sure.
the South Dallas Resource Center. And for those that don't understand, it just provides families an opportunity to create a comfortable environment and assisting them with furniture and household items, things that just make a difference, and it actually helps people have a better life. Because that's what it's all about,
Correct.
Right?
That's correct. You're so right, Chris.
You know what? I just love all the work that you do. I'm touching on some of the different things because people aren't aware. You know, they know a little bit. They know about different nonprofits, but they don't know all the little things. And by the way, the website is absolutely amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the South Dallas Clothing and Resource Center?
Yes, that is located next door to the church.
Mm-hmm.
We retrofitted. We just finished a massive renovation of the South Dallas Clothing Center on last year, in April of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now of the community in the neighborhood, in the community, they nicknamed it, called it the South Dallas Neiman Marcus. And that's the nickname.
The South Dallas Neiman Marcus. I love it.
Called it in the neighborhood. It is a beautiful, beautiful, we turned into a nice clothing, beautiful clothing and resource department. The Container Store came in and helped with our interior build out. And it is just wonderful. And the community loves it. And we also serve hot meals once a month from the Resource Center to the community for the clients that need help with clothing. It is a beautiful facility, and the neighborhood is really, they really love it. And we're just so happy that we are continually blessing through with the clothing and the resource department. They're doing a wonderful job there.
That is fantastic. And this is all a part of the community support program. There's some details that I only know that you can explain, because this is, you guys have been doing this for like 66 years, I guess.
Yes. As you know, my father, the late Doc, he loved the community so much, and he instilled in our family to continue to give back and don't never. And he always reminded us, don't forget where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had that in our minds that, you know, I'm a Lincoln High School graduate from Lincoln.
There you go.
And I'm always in the community. And giving back and to help those who need help and to be a blessing in the neighborhood. And it's the community support. There is a lot of organizations in the neighborhood that need support. And so we help support any organization that needs some assistance. The foundation has been able to help and assist with different programs in the community. And so we just want to be continually carry out the work that my father have laid here in Dallas, in the South Dallas, but also we just continue to move forward in providing this support here in the neighborhood, because South Dallas has been our heart for all our lives.
All your lives. And again, your late great father, he did so many wonderful things. They, in fact, named a highway after him. Can you talk about, let's talk about his legacy a little bit, but I want to start first with the highway, because sometimes people say, well, how does somebody get a highway named after them? Can you talk about that portion? And then we're going to talk about some of the great things he did for all of the city of Dallas. But when you first heard about it yourself, and when they did it and the dedication, can you talk about that day and that whole ceremony?
Oh, it was a wonderful day. And it was in July of 1995. My father passed away in November 3rd of 94.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, everybody in town wanted to find something to honor my dad. And then when it came to Highway 175, I thought it was just a wonderful tribute from all the friends in the community, of all the hard work that my late father had worked for the community. And that was a beautiful day. It was a hot day in July. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful ceremony in that renaming. It was historical. And at that time, during 1995, it was historical. And at the time, Governor George Bush was the governor of Dallas.
Yeah, he wasn't even president yet. Yeah, he's governor.
He came in person, and he did the ceremonial signing, in which we have, since that day, we have remained friends.
Good.
Yes, we remain friends since then, since that day in 1995, because it was a historic event, and it was just great to see everybody out at that event. And it just brightened a whole lot of lives. That
mm-hmm.
that hard work, it pays off if you're dedicated and you're faithful in reaching the goal and providing the help and assistance in moving people forward. That's what my father was all about, moving people forward, moving people to the next level. We can overcome challenges and look on the bright side that God is still here and God is with us. And he instilled that in all of us.
Exactly right. And again, it cemented his legacy. I mean, his legacy goes on through the foundation. Can you talk some more about the things that he did for Dallas and particularly South Dallas? Because Dr. Wright, he was, like I said, he was a civil rights leader as well as a pastor.
Yes. He was a wonderful orator. He was a good communicator. And he worked through a lot of challenges. Dallas, if you go back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s, Dallas was going through a challenging time. During civil rights, and he worked very hard in working with at the leadership level at the time, wherever the leadership was, and trying to get to make sure to get the community to get what we need, the community needed. And he worked very hard to make sure there was fair representation, political representation at the local and state level. And he worked hard even with families that need work and employment, and trying to make sure that everyone has a job and home ownership. He always pushed that in the community.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a go-to leader, and everyone, when you go to my father, you knew that things were going to get done. One thing about everyone I talked to, my dad, I hear stories about my dad. He's the go-to guy that always get things done. He always get things done for the community. And when Dr. Wright, you have Dr. Wright's word, his word meant something. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful to hear those stories about in the early years, how he worked in the city in trying to make sure that we have, that the city moves forward, but we got to make sure that the community also is at the table as well. And he made sure that.
He sure did. He was a facilitator. And like he said, he made sure everybody was involved and no one was left out. And that's how things get done. I mean, you cannot just skip over people. You cannot not listen to those who need some help and a helping hand. And he also created opportunities. And so I love the fact that through the foundation, his legacy continues.
Yes, it continues, and we're just, it, as things evolve, we continue our with the foundation's hope. It continues about the people, and continue to make sure that we reach the people, and to make sure that the people have the help and the assistance to become self-sufficient. And that's what the foundation is all about.
And speaking of self-sufficiency, I love the fact that you got a business and investment seminar series. Can you speak on that just a little bit about the luncheon seminars?
Sure. Yes. We have had, before COVID, we have had each quarter, we have a seminar series. We had a seminar series with Edwin Jones. Edwin Jones Security come in, and we have seminars about money management, and also about, we focused on building family portfolios. So that people, so families can have, start buying stock and trying to build a portfolio from scratch.
Right.
And that's why Edwin Jones was there at one of our presentations. We wanted to get educated in the community about financial management, understanding the American free enterprise system. A lot of families does not understand how the free enterprise system works.
Right.
And so that gives the family an understanding of how the free enterprise system works, how does the stock market work, and why you have to build a portfolios, each family build portfolios and continue to start saving and add on to that. So we really, in 2024, we're really going to hit more on financial sustainability, money management, and understanding the financial system. It's very important because we have to make sure that the families move upward financially. And that's what the enterprise business club, that's what we continue to do, is to instill in the families about there are different financial systems that everyone needs to understand so they can be a part of and be a part of the American dream and American process.
Exactly.
Of financial.
That's exactly right. Everybody's got a dream. And the American dream is about, you know, owning your own business necessarily, or educating your family about, like you said, economic opportunities, the stock market, inflation, entrepreneurship, interest rates, all the different things you need to know. And like you said, having a diverse portfolio so that you won't go under if one thing falls apart.
Correct. That is correct. And that's what those the club is all about. And we're going to be moving full steam ahead in 2024 in financial sustainability for families.
That is fantastic. Are you guys still doing the Thursday community days?
Oh, yes. It's here in South Dallas every Thursday. 25 years, we have been open every Thursday for our food center and our clothing center. We call it Community Day, and it is a mainstay here in the community. And the community knows we always been open, and we have continued to be open. And it's wonderful. Families can come and register on the same day, and then they receive their food and also if they need clothing as well, to shop for clothing as well and other items that we have at our clothing center. But we've been open now for 25 years for our community day on Thursdays.
I mean, this is just all fantastic. And you got so many different projects. Do you have a favorite one that you kind of like more than the others, even though all of them are important? Is there one that's kind of like your pet?
Well, the favorite, everybody, my favorite is Christmas in the Park. I think that's my favorite one. Mm-hmm. I think everybody who knows me, everybody knows Christmas in the Park is about the number one. It's Christmas in the Park. And to see it from start, from just a caravan, and then we moved to the church, and then now into the automobile building. I mean, I think that's my favorite, which that's my favorite project. That we work 11 months. It takes 11 months to plan for Christmas in the Park. And so I think number one is Christmas in the Park.
I'm trying to figure out how all the different families make it over there. I know I'm sure there's probably some church buses that provide some transportation, but people just know, right?
Oh yeah, they know. Like for registration, my registration is moving and progressing, and they know where the church is located, and they come right in. And we only have one citywide registration location here at the church, so everybody know to come here and register and get their tickets. So it's been very successful over the years.
How long does it take? I know you got it. Like I said, volunteer staff and everybody, church members, to put that automobile building together. Because I've been there a number of times back in the day. K104 was always having something out there.
Yep.
That's a large facility, and I know you talked about the different areas that are going to be set up. That's a little bit of work. Does it take a couple of days to put all that together?
Oh, no, it takes about 30 to move in the Fair Park. It takes about 30 because we have to rent. We have our headquarters is located on Riga Row in Savaro. We have a distribution center.
Mm-hmm.
But for Christmas, we have to get another 20,000 square foot distribution just to do Christmas in the Park.
Oh, my.
So we have to rent out a distribution just for Christmas in the Park because we have to build up the thousands of bicycles, and that takes about 2.5 weeks.
Oh, my.
And then
goodness.
We have shipments come in that we have to get another distribution just to do Christmas in the Park, not just from our regular distribution with furniture and our mattresses, but we have to get another that's dedicated only for the Christmas event each year. And so it's a massive infrastructure that we have built over the years. And with the move in, we have to rent a lot of semi trucks to get everything moved in and out of Fair Park. So the back behind the scene, it's a ton of work. And we got our team who have worked very hard, and they really work hard from the unloading and getting all the product in and getting the trucking system right, the freight system right, with all our semi trucks that we have to employ. It's a massive operation. And I'm glad over the years we finessed it each and every year on our infrastructure.
I mean, it's an amazing thing. And like you said, it's kind of like North Pole comes to South Dallas. I mean, everything is right there, but it takes a little effort behind the scenes. People have no idea. I always used to say this a lot. People have no idea how the sausage is made. They just love the sausage. They can't handle it.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
And so tell me when it's over. You know, when the day is over with and everybody's taken care of, how long does it take to take it all down and get ready to have Fair Park get ready for the next event that they're going to have there? Did they give you some time, some days?
We got to move out on Monday. So our team is all systematized that we have to get everything down. Once we once the event is over Saturday, we got Saturday night, we got all day Sunday, and then I think a half a day on Monday. I think Monday to get everything kind of system to get everything out. Yep. So, but we worked it over years. It takes a lot of, we have a lot of a team to do that, but only it takes a lot to get teared down and get everything out for a park. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot. It's a labor of love because there's nothing else like Christmas in the park at Fair Park. This year it will be December the 16th. Mark the calendar. You do not want to miss this. And for more information, where do they need to go? SM Rice, the website?
Yes, they can go to the website. We have our main website for the Christmas event is www.christmasatfairpark.com.
Fantastic. And for more information on the work that SM Rice Foundation does, can you talk about where they can find information, where they could partner with you or do volunteer work or just be a part of some greatness? Because what you do has been absolutely great for the last 25 years.
Thank you. They can go to our website at www.smri.org, and it's very interactive. You just click the button if you want to volunteer for future volunteer dates, and we'll get our emails. It'll be emailed to our office, and our staff team will be on it to get the emails response and be a part, become a part of our organization to volunteer. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities throughout the whole year.
Fantastic. Pastor S.M. Wright II, it's been a pleasure. We will have to visit with you again because there's always some new things coming up in the spring.
Yes, sure can.
Thank you, Dr. Wright.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And joining us right now is the president and CEO of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce, my buddy and friend, Mr. Harrison Blair. How you doing, Harrison?
Man, Chris Arnold, firstly, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you on Better Living. It's always my pleasure. I've always known of your exploits with the Mavericks and all of the work that you've done across radio. So it is really a pleasure to be with you.
Always a pleasure to join you. I think I've taken you out of a City Hall meeting or something. Are you in City Hall right now?
I am sitting in City Hall. And we're in the park board meeting. So there's some cool presentations happening, but I had to take a quick step out for Better Living to make sure we really, really got back with you, Mr. Arnold.
Well, I'm glad you're taking some time with us again. You are so busy, and we always want to talk to you because there's so many different things going on, especially with all these different corporations and different businesses and small businesses moving to the North Texas area and Dallas-Fort Worth and Dallas in particular, and you have your pulse on all of these things. And that's why I wanted to talk to you right now about this big event coming up on December the 14th. It's the Emerald City Awards Gala. Can you talk about the Emerald City's Awards Gala and what that's all about?
Absolutely. And, Chris, you know, I've gotten a lot of questions about the theme. The Emerald City comes from the movie The Wiz, which was in 1978, one of the first productions that had an all-black cast. Mm-hmm. And it had that kind of a budget behind it on a major network television show. And it featured Diana Ross, who is world-renowned celebrity. It had all these different folks in it. And, of course,
Richard Pryor, Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson.
So, and Michael Jackson had just finished reshaping music in his image, which is why we call him the King of Pop today. So it was a very, very seminal moment on television with Black opulence, where we imagined ourselves in the future. And so on Thursday, or next Thursday rather, at the factory in Deep Ellum, we're going to be imagining the future. We're raising funds toward that future, but we're going to imagine it together to think about all the ways we can transform Black businesses, nonprofits, and how we can grow major conglomerates right here in the home of public-private partnerships. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And Eric Benet will also be one of our special hosts. So you never know. You Look might out. Get the song. You never know.
He might sit down and perform. Time. You never know.
You just never know. So we'd love for you to be there. You can get tickets on our website at dbcc.org. And again, Chris, all of the proceeds from this go directly to small businesses and nonprofits, either through direct grants or they go to them through programming that we do. And as of 2020, we've given $120,000 in direct grants to small businesses and nonprofits.
That is fantastic. Absolutely amazing. We're talking with Harrison Blair. He is the president and CEO of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. The Emerald City Awards Gala is happening Thursday, December the 14th. And we mentioned the awards part. Tell us about that particular function.
So with our awards, it is so important that we remember our history. And mm-hmm. especially at a time right now where history or Black history is illegal to share in schools in the state of Texas, then somebody has to make sure that we're that griot and we're remembering all of who has done what in our community. You know, UNT Dallas didn't just happen upon the Southern Sector or a law school downtown. It took mm-hmm. leaders like Royce West to get that and, you know, giraffe that go at the Dallas Zoo, developments that are adding to this college, research grants. So, he's going to get our Lifetime Achievement Award, and that is Senator Royce West.
Nice.
So he'll be there with us. I am his fraternity brother, and I'm honored to be so. And then, of course, we have leaders like Miss Annette Underwood, who she's at Vistra Energy. She's a Black executive who is really spreading Vistra's dollars out in community in such a way that it's making great impact. And when we put our secret poll out there to see who should be one of those executives of the year, we got her name back in tenfold. So we're excited to have her on that list. And then, of course, Roland Parrish is actually our named sponsor. So this brother walked in with a $50,000 check and said, hey, can I put my name on the gala and talk about what we're doing with Parrish Charitable Foundations, of which he does many different things for communities across the city and across the country. So I'm honored to have him as our named sponsor and our honorary chair for this year. And then, of course, Representative Vinton Jones, he's going to get our Amacio Smith Trailblazer Award because Amacio Smith was the young leader who came to Dallas when he was in his early 30s and blazed the trail through the Dallas Negro Chamber of Commerce, which was our original name. Mm-hmm. And he made the chamber a stalwart in the community in a bunch of different ways. So a young leader who's doing that kind of work is Vinton Jones. He represents House District 100, and we're honored to have him there. And then, of course, we've got to honor one of the oldest Black architecture and engineering firms in the city. They're like the H.K. Russell of Dallas, or I should say H.K. Russell is the them of Atlanta, and that is Dakita Enterprises, and that's Miss Eve Williams. She is our CEO of the year, and she's done some stand-up work in community. She's ready to go toe-to-toe, whether it's a congresswoman or whether it's a big developer who's bringing a project, and she's talking about equity. So she's going to receive our chairman's award this year, and we're honored to have them all be a part of this year's gala.
This is absolutely amazing. It sounds like it's going to be the occasion to be at. Again, it's a week. It's on Thursday, December the 14th, and it's going to be at the factory in Deep Ellum. I think that this is just another example of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce doing things, bringing all kinds of people together, especially showing a lot of people in business world of Dallas how things can get done and how you can network and reach out and be a full participant in all the business activities in the city of Dallas. Am I wrong?
Oh, man. And Chris, you couldn't have said it. I couldn't have said it better. And let me say, for us, we say this is the most important meetup of Black businesses and nonprofits in the region. And when we say that, real opportunities happen in the room.
Yeah.
The reason we put the event in a themed capacity is because it's easy to rub shoulders with Chris Arnold when he's dressed up as The Wiz, but he's not necessarily, you know, in his in his regular attire, like he's about to announce a game and make you sweat. You know, you never know what he might say.
Right.
But when he's just there in the theme and we've got an open bar, now you can connect. And I can't tell you how many business owners have met that banker who gave them that line of credit to grow, or how many nonprofit leaders met that donor or sponsor who said, hey, I'll help you in your mission and I'll fund it up to this capacity so that you could do more. So that it operates as a lot of different things for us, but it is one of the most important meetings if you're a Black entrepreneur, a civically minded leader, a nonprofit leader.
Let's circle back to Roland Parrish just a minute. He's a great philanthropist. He's also my fraternity brother. But he's also he owns a whole lot of McDonald's franchises, and he's a philanthropist because not only you mentioned Dallas, state of Texas, United States, he's actually built a hospital in Africa. I mean, he's really done a lot of things.
Man.
And the last time we saw each other, there was a park dedicated in his honor. Can you talk about the Roland Parrish Park that's now right there in South Dallas / Oak Cliff, right off of Beckley?
Man, absolutely. And I'm honored because I got to be a small part of it.
Yes, you
Ms.
did.
Ms. Arnold, our city councilwoman and our deputy mayor pro tem, she called upon me in this role to see through a process that she had been working with him on. She wanted to develop a piece of property that was once called Cadillac Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone who knows the history of Cadillac Heights knows, it used to be a battery factory very near to these homes of Black and brown residents, and it caused a lot of cases of cancer.
Yeah.
But that area also had an issue of flooding. So in the early 2000s, the city took those houses off that land. Those communities were bought out and they moved, but nothing was put there. So it was just a grove of trees that looked very curious. And Ms. Arnold said, by hook or crook, we were going to develop and make sure that we had nice things in our community that were for the people there. So the park department, our park director, John Jenkins, engaged with us, and we started walking through the process of renaming that park. But the coolest part of the entire process was the ability to get, you know, the fundraising efforts kicked off with $1 million check from the big man himself. Roland Parrish is a bad boy. You know, a Black man coming to City Hall with $1 million check under his arm, he came to make a statement. So he is one of several honorees who've had something renamed in their honor in District 4. Before we got to Mr. Parrish, Hiawatha Williams, the
yes.
King of Wings himself,
William Shea.
You know, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So we renamed Cummings Recreation Facility and Park in his honor last year. And he is a mentor of Roland Parrish.
Yes.
So you can see that great business begets great business.
Mm-hmm. It's called networking was networking.
There you go. And all to say, Mr. Parrish has been very engaged, not only in this one effort, but Mr. Parrish has also donated directly to small businesses. When we started our program to start giving grants directly to businesses, we called it the President's Micro Grant. And I was hoping I would find a match grantor who could give $5,000 for our $5,000. We would invest it in businesses anyway, but we wanted to get a partner to make it larger. We had a lot of requests for micro grants or micro loans and a bank who might do those. But Chris, if you've been in business and you're trying to grow, many banks want to see a lot of big deals. They
yeah.
want to fund something that may take $150,000.
Right, not the smaller ones. Yeah, they want the big ones. They want the big whales.
They want the big ones. So Mr. Parrish came in this deal and said, hey, well, we got a chiropractor firm that very first year who needs $15,000 to open up. That's what she's estimating.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we've got five, Mr. Parrish. Would you help us to give her another five? And he said, Brother Blair, I'll do that. He said, I love what the chamber's doing and I'll be there. And we've been out there to check on Refined Chiropractic. She's still out there cracking necks and breaking backs and making people feel better. And all because, you know, Mr. Parrish helped us invest in this business that's now an economic catalyst. She's got employees. She's grown since we last saw her. And that was just with a small grant to help her business take off. Those are just some of the stories that Mr. Parrish has been a part of. And I could spend all day talking about that.
Oh, yeah, it was just an absolutely great occasion. Again, right around the corner from Roosevelt High School and Cadillac Heights. It's going to be a beautiful park. And again, the land was there. And I'm glad Councilwoman Carolyn King Arnold was able to put that thing together and make a lot of people very happy. And it's going to be a great place for kids to play and for people actually to meet up to do different things in a very civic way.
And Chris, I also add that there's going to be now an international sport there. They're going to put a cricket field there.
Oh, nice.
So we're also now exposing the community to a lot more opportunities. And they're putting this field there temporarily for a tournament. But if it works out, you could imagine the type of development that would go around this and the economic development, you know, opportunities for small businesses. And I'll just, you know, say again for Mr. Parrish's sake that what he has done is allowed us to really start to clean up that area in an environmental justice capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the dirt being moved and without that development, then the stuff in the soil that was causing sicknesses across the community are now being cleaned up. And to a measure, we're going to develop that entire area because this is an economic catalyst now.
That is what
Mr. Parrish has brought.
It really is.
So we're excited about that.
And just to show you how it can get done and these things do happen, I remember back in the 1990s, Ross Perot Jr. went and bought all this toxic waste area just east of I-35. And he said, I'm going to call it Victory. And I'm going to buy the Dallas Mavericks and build an arena. And the next thing you know, they spent millions cleaning up that toxic area, it wasn't a waste area. It was just a field. But it had, just like you said, just like Cadillac, it had all this stuff underneath that was making people sick. And they cleaned it all up. And now it's a vibrant part of Dallas. And again, everybody knows about Victory and American Airlines Center and everything that's over there, the apartments and the mixed use and the shops and the restaurants, the whole nine yards. And again, the same thing can happen right where you're talking about in Cadillac Heights.
Man, and that's why we're excited about leaders like Mr. Parrish putting his name on the Emerald City Gala. All the work that he and his wife and his family do are amazing. And so we're glad to have them bring that talent officially and openly to the public to see. So we're very thankful for that.
Okay, so I'm dragging you out of this parks meeting. What are some of the things that the Dallas Parks Commission are working on right now that you can share with us? Because that's all about making the city better.
Well, we had a briefing today just about how the park department actually adds equity back in value. And I could walk you through all the calculations and put you and all the listeners to sleep. But essentially, we try to derive value from all the work that we're putting into these parks.
Right.
You know, the privilege of this job is really that we get to manage public assets that all of us have the opportunity to go to and utilize. Whether it's, you know, a public-private partnership with Dallas Zoo, which is in my district, or, you know, welcoming the CEO of the new CEO of the Arboretum, who's coming in to do an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
We really work with policy to make sure that the department is equitably serving all of our residents across Dallas. So it could look like a lot of different things. It could be a briefing from the police department about, you know, crime in parks, whether it's up or down. It could be something from Fair Park First about how they're going to use hundreds of millions of dollars to revitalize Fair Park and actually put a park in Fair Park. And some of the dicier decisions that needed to be made around Robert E. Lee Park, which is now the Conservancy, for a lot of reasons, as we start to think about what monuments go in public space and who do we revere as a society. So we've kind of gotten to be a part of some of those decisions, as well as renaming. We have an entire renaming policy that we put in place, which allows us to do those renamings for Roland Parrish and Hiawatha Williams and many other great leaders who are getting art inside of parks and other things that really enrich them for us to utilize.
I love the way you break these things down, because a lot of people, they don't know, or they heard, or they have a theory about how parks are named or how many parks are in the Dallas area. And you're breaking it all down. And let's swing back to Fair Park just for a minute, because there was some news that came out just a couple of days ago that the Texas OU game will stay at Fair Park at the Cotton Bowl all the way through the mid 2030s. I think it goes all the way to 2035 or 2036. All I know is that's great news, because there is a lot of money that is made from the State Fair of Texas being at Fair Park, and they say that's the biggest day. We already know Grambling Prairie View is big, but Texas OU, that is a tradition right there, right in Dallas.
Well, and let me say, this is a huge win. It would have been even sweeter if we could say the Cowboys are playing at the Cotton Bowl. But hey, economic development at a city level is difficult, and I understand that.
Yes.
But let me say, you're right. That means a lot more corny dogs, a lot more candy apples. and a lot of people, because now with the upgrades that will be made, not only will it be a better stadium for those kinds of games, but it really keeps Dallas as a cultural center for the North Texas region. We are the heart of the Texas miracle, and we can work. You know, it's one thing to take it for granted and lose it. It's another to put these kinds of deals together through the park department, Fair Park First, the state fair, to ensure that these kinds of culturally iconic products stay in Dallas. So this was a huge win, and hopefully we can lock them down for the next 100 years.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to happen. And let me tell you one of the reasons why I think this. I did some research way back in the day when, you know, when Jerry Jones first opened up AT&T Stadium, and people were wondering, and he was trying to get different events. He's got Texas A&M versus Arkansas. That's a staple over there now. But they kept saying, well, maybe the Texas OU game might go there, or then Texas – University of Texas floated the idea of making it a home-and-home series where they could make all the money and, oh, you could make their own money, you know, in Norman. And I was like, wait a minute. So I did some research and talked to some people. Guess what I found out, Harrison? Guess what I found out, HB?
What did we find out?
I found out a couple of things. It'll never be a home-and-home, and that is because the visiting team cannot get 50,000 fans to that other stadium. You follow what I'm saying? Pandora's box has been open for all of these years. You cannot tell half the people. Well, we only got 10,000 seats for y'all this year. Every other year, only 10,000 people get to go. They're not going to put up with that. They're used to going. We're talking about at least 50,000, if not big money people, alumni, students. You cannot just shut it down and say only 10,000 every other year can go. So that's not going to happen, whether it's Norman or Austin. The other part about it. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, just answer that. You can't recreate the attraction of the state fair.
Right.
Even if I don't get into the game.
Exactly.
I'm going to eat.
Exactly. And the city of Dallas, they always make some concessions to those two schools. They make some concessions to allow them to make it worthwhile to stick around, whether it's tax breaks or whatever, because the hotels, there's a lot of money made by the city itself. And so they do their best to keep the stadium in great condition. They do their best to make it affordable and worthwhile for both schools. But in all seriousness, the bottom line is you got way too many people who would be displaced every other year. That ain't going to happen. And then as far as Arlington and AT&T Stadium, the stadium itself is a fine facility. But there's just so many things, like you mentioned, with the state fair going on and the tradition and things that you just cannot recreate out there in a brand new stadium, no matter where that stadium is.
Man, and you know, and Chris, as we talk about this, you even think about the moves that Mark Cuban just made. Mm-hmm. As we think about the Mavericks, mm-hmm. He working with Sands Corp to potentially purchase the team when that deal, if that deal hasn't already gone through completely, and what that could mean to have a huge resort casino style game arena.
So that's the dream. That's the dream. That's what they're hoping to happen down the road.
And you never know, you know, when the Cowboys are ready to move. Maybe another 30 years. Who knows, you know, what will happen.
They might come back.
Would love to see them and the Raiders potentially come back home.
You just never know. So tell us tell us a couple of more things that we need to be aware of that might be on your calendar over the next couple of months or end of the year, first of the year, that the Dallas Black Chamber is making everybody aware of.
Well, let me say our regular monthly membership engagements start back up in January. Mm-hmm. So that means we'll have a happy hour at the last Thursday of that month. The second Wednesday in the month, we're going to have a power breakfast, and that's going to be at Soiree Coffee Bar, which is its home. And breakfast and coffee is on us. We just ask that you come and meet your next opportunity. And then, of course, in February during Black History Month, we're going to release videos of all of our quest winners from 2023, just so that they can start to get the benefits of the prizes they won through Spectrum One, through Dallas Morning News, and, of course, through WFAA and the Dallas Black Chamber and our partners and affiliates. So you'll see that going out. But also, we have a great event that really accentuates the civil rights and the economic rights history of Dallas, and that is called Ignite the Lights. We have 1,000 folks come out and light a water tea light candle and a rice paper. They basically write a message of love on it, and we bring a king speaker out to come and talk about Dr. King's words and to echo them at this very critical time. Mm-hmm. And people dedicate their lanterns to, you know, coaches or family members, or they dedicate them to leaders and community who really impacted their lives. And it doesn't matter what community you're from or who that leader is or that person in your life is you want to remember. They may still be alive. They, you know, that you may want to honor them in person. You can come and do that. And this is kind of built on the legacy of my grandfather and my dad's parade. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do another parade, but we still want to make sure we take Black History Month as a moment to remember. The Civil Rights Movement was specifically Black history, but when you look at the impact of the Civil Rights Movement, it clearly impacted all of America and the world. It taught people how to speak truth to power, how to do it in a, you know, in a multitude of ways. So we want to honor that legacy. And since our chamber is almost 100 years old, and we've lived through that movement, which now as historians relook at the history, they see Dallas as one of those seminal places of the early civil rights movement. Then we really have to accentuate that in our history and our role in that development of where we are today. So that's going to be in mid-February, and we'll be releasing a calendar just after the gala on December 14th. So we hope that you all will come out and be a part of that.
It's going to be fantastic. And also, a couple of days right after that, you have Christmas in the Park from the S.M. Wright Foundation, and they donate so many gifts and clothing and shoes and bicycles to kids and families in need in South Dallas. And that's also going to be a wonderful occasion in Fair Park. Am I missing anything that needs to be shouted out for the month of December?
So one last thing.
Sure, take your time.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carolyn King Arnold. Mm-hmm. So Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carolyn King Arnold is hosting a tree lighting ceremony in Keith Park.
Oh,
and if
wonderful.
You've ever been to Keith Park, yeah, it is truly a park that is bustling with energy and families everywhere. Mm-hmm. So last year we had the very first annual tree lighting, and it's a huge tree. It looks like something at the White House.
Look out.
And we're going to have food truck vendors. Mm-hmm. Kids were ice skating last year with the Dallas Stars. American Airlines and a bunch of other mm-hmm. sponsors, including Southwest, have invested. So we would love to see families come out. And of course, the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce is investing in this Keys Park tree lighting. We want to make sure that one of the central parks of the Southern Sector starts to host these kinds of events and invite families out. And that's all because of Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carolyn King Arnold. So we hope that you'll come and join us. And that is December the 9th. That is this Saturday.
You know, so while people are sleeping on Keys Park because it's such a nice big park. When my kids were little, I taught them how to play tennis over there, the tennis court over there. They got so many soccer fields and baseball diamonds and softball diamonds. And now they're going to have a gigantic Christmas tree out there and the lighting ceremony. And it's a nice place to run, too, if you just like to exercise. Keys Park is an ideal place just for exercise and recreation alone. I love Keys Park. They can't say enough about Keys Park.
So we would love to have y'all come out.
Okay,
and as always,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Arnold.
I was going to say I'm saying all this, and we're forgetting about your grandfather's park.
So and of course William Blair Park, which sits just off the Buckeye Trail off 175. We're always out there to do cleanups, and we'll definitely be hosting some cleanups throughout the year. And, Chris, one thing I forgot to mention is the Mavericks play December 14th.
Yes, they do.
And I know this because I check all the stuff that happens on my birthday. I'd like to see what's happening around the world on such an important day.
Well, happy birthday early.
Thank you, sir. And look, I'll be rooting for the Mavericks, though we'll be at our gala. Know that we love the Dallas Mavs, and we love our CEO, Madam Sint Marshall. She is top class. She's probably the best CEO in the league. She is the LeBron of front and back office management. So we are honored to have her as one of last year's honorees, and she is very engaged in community. You can find Sint out here in these Dallas streets meeting with nonprofits and all manner of folks. So let me just give my shout out to the Dallas Mavericks. We love y'all.
She is absolutely amazing, and I'm very proud to be working for the Dallas Mavericks as well. With that being said, let's talk about the Dallas Black Chamber again. The website, and because you got an amazing website. In this day and age of technology, a lot of people like to do things on their fingertips, whether it's shopping on Amazon, just looking up information on Google. Can you talk about the website real quick and give everybody the information on how they can find out more and how they can engage literally at their fingertips at their desktop?
Absolutely. You can find us at bbcc.org, or you can type in the pseudonym DallasBlackChamber.org, and it'll take you to our website. You'll see that there are some active campaigns. If you want to give to the chamber to help support the work that we do, there's a donate button in the tab that can help you give us that one-time donation. Or if you want to give us sustainable funding, which is a new model that a lot of nonprofits are using to keep vitality and really serve and make more impact, then hit that monthly tab and hook us up and make sure that we have what we need to serve more businesses. And if you're wondering if, you know, hey, I'm not Black, I'm not a Black business owner, is this for me? The answer is yes. You don't have to be Black to build Black. We help our neighbors. We don't just point at them and say, hey, they don't have, and thus they are the problem. We ask, how can we be the solution? And there are a lot of folks who are not African-American or Black who are a part of that work because they are here to help fellow Americans. So this is not a separatist mission. If you're wondering, should you get involved? The answer is probably yes. We need you and you need us. We are neighbors and we are infrastructure. So help us serve that cause of building stronger neighbors and stronger American businesses.
I love the way you put that. And again, how many businesses and corporations come in from all over the country, wind up settling in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and you guys are there to help connect their staffs and their employees with their new communities?
Man, so far there are 900 member businesses of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce that are active.
Wow.
And when I started, we had 50. So people are starting to find this community and start to use it for their platform to grow their business, but to also find those people that they want to give back to. Because a part of business that we don't often talk about is the philanthropic arm. When you get ready to serve on a board or when you do so well at business that now you can give back and it's mm-hmm. a priority, and you start thinking about what your real principles are. So we help a lot of businesses that are in a lot of different life stages and cycles. So there are a lot of folks that want to meet all the different businesses that are out there. And we are also their connection to the broader community and the world, which is why we travel and we introduce businesses internationally, nationally, across state. So that's our work. We love to, if people want to help us do that, we love for them to be a part of that.
We love the fact that you're a part of this show from time to time because people want to know what's going on. And again, I want to thank you for breaking away from that Dallas Park Board meeting. And how long have you been involved with the Park Board?
So this is my 7th year on the board.
Look out.
And I've had the pleasure of serving for District 4.
Thank you, Harrison Blair. You take care of yourself and we'll talk to you again real soon. And thank you all.
Chris Arnold, thank you again.
Oh, yeah, and thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.